Folks, could I ask you to turn tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'm not going to be really preaching tonight. I think it's more important that we would pray tonight. Okay. Pray for the sowing of the seed. It's very, very important. I think this is a lovely chapter. And I'm always fascinated when I read about Paul. For he is a man with compassion, concern, and vision. And as you would read this particular chapter, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, you will discover here in the earlier verses that he certainly is on fire. He's seeking to go wherever he can with the gospel to present the word to the people. And really, the church need to get the vision again. And bring the word to the people. That is most important. It is the church's responsibility to bring the message to the people. And I thank God Paul was one who had a heartfelt concern for lost souls. And you know, in this day in which we're living, there can be a lot of religion. And there can be a lot of theology discussed. And sometimes when you're sitting about discussing theology, the soul's going to a lost eternity. This church, to my knowledge, was born out of evangelism. And evangelism means to be getting up and going out. Not just for the sake of going out. You know, you can just go out like any other week without having a heartfelt concern. And just going through the mode. Lord, give us tonight a passionate heart for the souls of men and women. You will discover here in this 16th chapter that he certainly was on fire to the extent that the Spirit of God had to redirect him. He preached everywhere he went, whoever he found. He presented to them the ministry of the gospel. God brought his footsteps to this little place in verse 9, to this little place called Troas. Verse 8. Brought him there for a reason. That he might sit and listen for a moment. And child of God, is a good thing to sit and listen. And to be aware of God's directive will. And not your own. Paul here, who was on fire for the Lord, just at this point in his ministry, he had no desire, just as yet, to go into the West. Thank God he did. Thank God we have the gospel tonight. Paul brought the gospel. Why did he bring the gospel? Why are we such a privileged people tonight? In this part of the world. Because the Lord spoke to him one night in his sleep. And he saw a vision in verse 9 which appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's people in need. What was their problem? Well, dear friend, their problem was that they were without Christ and without God. I just heard tonight, I thought it was wonderful news, that the Iron Hall up the road are going in amongst the Roman Catholic people with the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank God that they have a desire to go. Not just talk about it around the table or to discuss it, but to get up and do something to make moves. And you and I have been blessed this week already. I don't know if you have been blessed, but I have been blessed. Because I believe without any shadow of a doubt the Lord has been in the midst. And he has been pleased to lead our brother with these meetings. And I thank God for our brother Gary. For no one knows but he and his wife and his family the burden that he carries for such a task as this. And how we need to pray. And to get behind him. You know, we're all excited. Well, we should be all excited. I'm excited. I get excited when I see souls getting saved. Or some old rascals might look on and say, oh, I wonder they saved us a wee. Do they understand? Well, the Lord's a Savior. He does his own business. I respect what you think. Hallelujah. You see in verse 10, after he seen the vision, he said, immediately we endeavored, we've got to go together. And thank God we're going together. Shoulder to shoulder. You see, that's the way the work of God should be. Amen. Shoulder to shoulder. You're not out in the work of God to be seen or to be heard. Away with that old rubbish. You just get on with it as a band and enjoy it and praise the Lord as you see God moving. I could never express the feelings of my heart. There's nothing like being involved in the Lord's work. And do you see the things of this old world and this old earth and this old province that don't mean a big pie to me? Because I'm only a passing through. Do you know something? I mightn't be about tomorrow to worry about it anyway. So just get on with the work of the day. Keep at it. Keep at the work. Keep following the Lord. Nobody else. Just the Lord. But do you see when you follow the Lord? He'll lead you in the right way. People might not understand the way he leads. But I don't care what people think. You're following the Lord, that's all that matters. That's what truly matters. Because she can be the spice of life. One moment. And you can be the rough of the tongue the next. A young man said to me one time, "Beware of the tongue that flattereth." Beware of the tongue that flattereth. You know where he took that from? The Bible you have in your hand. And child of God, we see here Paul setting out immediately, losing no time whatsoever, heading to this place where God sent him. And you'll notice in verse 13, as he comes to this place, before he opens his mouth to preach the gospel, he's on his knees before the Lord. And he's down there by the riverside where prayer is wont to be made. Brethren and sisters, that's a phrase which is tremendous. Prayer wanting to be made. Do you know you can come to the prayer meeting without any real true desire to pray if you do not have a burning desire for the souls of men and women to win them for Jesus Christ? You'll have no desire to pray for them. And when you have a desire to pray for them, and a breaking heart for them, then you'll have a desire to go and win them. They both work together. You can't separate them. And here's Paul, and he's on his knees before the Lord, both he and Silas and maybe others. And my, they're seeking the face of God. And I have often wondered what he prayed. He certainly prayed that the Lord's right hand would be made bare in the ministry that he was involved in that part of the world. And my, was it not made bare by a mighty act of God. For we see there as he prayed and as they sought the Lord and as they brought the word, we see that there was a certain woman named Lydia. Oh, she had just come down like any other day. But she heard the gospel. Listen. For the first time. Do you see she listened? Do you see what happened? The Lord opened her heart. Not the preacher. He can't force the issue, you know. It's the Lord. And her heart was open to an understanding of the truth. And then my Bible tells me that she attended unto those things. In other words, she acted on what she knew. Listen, we need to pray tonight as the word of God is sown, that the Lord will open hearts to the truth. Okay? That the word might take root in the heart of the children and that fruit may be born forth in honor to the Lord Jesus. This is what we want to see. I want to tell you tonight, do you see those souls of those children? They're no different than the soul that you have in your body. And I rejoice of the soul of every one of them, every bit as much as if they were adults. In fact, I rejoice greater. And you pray that the Lord might help those who have come and have spoken about the feelings within their heart, that the wee ones might totally understand exactly what they have done. That they might grip the truth by the scruff of its neck and that they might know what it is to follow the Lord. We have missed out on a generation. These kids are the generation we need to get. Not only the Protestant kids, but there's the wee Roman Catholics. May the Lord move and continue to move in this mission. And may many boys and girls, as well as mums and dads, be saved by the grace of the Lord. Brian, we need to pray. Sisters, we need to pray. An old preacher once said, we need to pray and not to play. We need to pray. And we need to pray now. Let us bow our heads. Seek the Lord.